already? My, my, how time flies. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, if you look at the title, that thing will go and explain all that you need about what's going on in here. The only difference about this animation podcast, among all the other animation podcasts, is that you're stuck with a crazy podcaster, most namely me. So, for this episode in particular, though, what we are going to be looking at is going to be an unusual thing Disney is going to be doing, or that they have done this week, called the Day of Listening. Then afterwards, we will be looking into the brand new edition of the next sexual predator in animation. Then afterwards, we will be looking at an older news that has officially been confirmed this week. Then afterwards, we will be looking into a little pointless trend that's somehow slowly but surely coming back. And then finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, which is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also go ahead and email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And for our first story that we have right over here, we are going to go and look into an unusual day, like I said before, that is happening, or that did happen, at Walt Disney Animation Studios. And what apparently happened was that on February 1st, the people at Disney Animation Studios, they all came together and grouped up with a bunch of human resources people at Disney to know about something that's going on in the workplace. It's just asking them, how are things going with their job at Disney Animation Studios? And this is something that they have deemed it the Day of Listening. And this Day of Listening is something that's a little bit unusual at Disney. They don't really do this all the time. And why are they doing this? Well, apparently, some people are actually saying that this is made to ultimately determine the future of John Lasseter. Now, with that story, you may remember last year, one of the most heartbreaking animation news that you guys have probably heard is actually going to be regarding John Lasseter. And as you may recall, since the whole hashtag MeToo movement is still going on, where ever since the discovery of Harvey Weinstein and his episodes of sexual harassment and sexual assault, and it would ultimately lead him to be pretty much destroyed, like his life and his career is pretty much over at this point. Now Hollywood is pretty much no longer shy about it, and they are standing up to any form of sexual misconduct. And ever since then, we've had people like Louis C.K., we've had Kevin Spacey, and all those people who have been pretty much caught with so many acts of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, and sexual harassment. And pretty much their career just went into an immediate halt. It's like at the point that now they have to consider a full-on career change. And this has happened in animation as well. Louis C.K. would count a little bit into it because there are some consequences that do link into animation. Like, he had an animated series that ultimately got canceled. It ultimately got suspended over this. It was something called The Cops on TBS. And also, Louis C.K. will no longer be the voice of Max for the sequel of The Secret Life of Pets. And then also, you got Chris Savino, who has been known to be a major sexual harasser throughout his entire career in animation. And he was in the height of his game when he was known to be the creator of The Loud House, but then he got fired at Nickelodeon. And then you got John Lasseter, whom throughout his career, he has done some actions that are not as bad as Chris Savino, but they are still pretty bad, where he has a lot of his episodes of sexual misconduct, and being a woman at Pixar is really not an easy thing when John would be around. It wasn't until in November when he was ultimately confronted with this, and Disney pretty much gave him a 6-month sabbatical for it. Now, with all that said and done, going back into the news right over here with this whole day of listening, there are a lot of people that do say that this will ultimately determine if it would be possible to bring back John Lasseter, or if they would decide ultimately to just fire him. Now, if I may go into my source here in The Hollywood Reporter, it actually did state, while one veteran says that he believes the real reason behind this day of listening is to take the temperature of staff to see how likely is it that Lasseter can come back, he says many in the animation community thinks John Lasseter's return is unlikely. That is a stretch to put somebody back in charge of animation at such a storied brand as Disney after the revelation of his behavior. So that could be the ultimate case right over here. And some people say that this could be the ultimate fact, the ultimate determined factor to see, is John Lasseter going to be coming back at his post, or are they ultimately just going to fire him? Because Disney is in a serious dilemma, and meanwhile, with John Lasseter, he's pretty much in the middle of his 6-month sabbatical. Technically, if they just keep it with just the 6-month sabbatical, and they would have it, just let it be they would have the time to ultimately reach to the point that the 6 months are over, then John Lasseter would technically be back at Disney and Pixar by the end of May, if my calculations are correct. So, with all that said, it's either... Yeah, I think, hold on a sec. We got December, January, February, March, April, May. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, basically, he would be coming back at the end of May. So yeah, overall, they really are in a really tough position when it comes to what are they going to do with John Lasseter? Are they going to let him stay at Disney and Pixar, or are they ultimately going to let him go? Because really, there are two sides of this that really, they have an equal amount of pros and cons. Because think about this. If you are going to let John Lasseter stay, then it's understandable. Because you look back at John Lasseter's career and what he has done for Disney and Pixar, I mean, there honestly is a reason why he is the most influential name in the history of modern animation. This is the guy that really did shepherd both Pixar and Walt Disney Animation Studios to be on top of the animation world. As they stand right now, there's no major animation studio that is higher than Disney and Pixar in terms of how they're doing in a creative standpoint and also financially. They really are on top of the food chain in the animation world, bar none. And John Lasseter really did play a huge part of it. And in a way, it really is admirable how this man can actually handle pretty much being in charge in the creative front of both sides at Pixar and Disney, on top of also being in charge of the creative front at Walt Disney Imagineering with the Disney parks and handling the creative side of the Disney rides. You know, John Lasseter has one of the biggest jobs at Disney, and he really succeeded in all fronts. So it is understandable to keep him so that they can let this flow continue to grow. However, the veteran said right over here, that is a stretch to put somebody back in charge of animation at such a storied brand as Disney after the revelations of his behavior. Like, on one side, yes, John Lasseter can do an amazing job, and he is fantastic with what he can do. But on the other hand, there is his behavior. And putting someone like that in charge can really hurt the Disney brand. It can really hurt Disney's image in a way, where you could tell that is just putting business over their employees. In a way, putting a sexual predator in charge of like such a high position at a company, it's almost as if Donald Trump is running Walt Disney, the Walt Disney Company. You know what I mean? It's like only Trump would do that kind of stupid decision. So there is a little bit of that pro and con right over there. But then again, there is also the factor about letting John Lasseter go. And yeah, firing John Lasseter, it is understandable why they would do that. I mean, someone who would do like a series of sexual misconducts again and again and again, it is unacceptable. If Disney would fire John Lasseter, that really would send a big message, not just to the Disney company, but all around the world, that it doesn't matter how high in the food chain you are or how big your position is. Like, sexual misconduct or sexual harassment of any kind is not okay, and it will take you down no matter what. It will bite you in the butt. So Disney would send a positive image if they fired John Lasseter. But then again, there would be the entire process of finding a replacement for John Lasseter, because let's be honest, with the achievements that John Lasseter has done, he really is a one-of-a-kind guy. And there are plenty of talks about who would be John Lasseter's replacement. I mean, for a long time, even after this whole sexual misconduct scandal appeared, people have been talking about who would be the next John Lasseter, who would be the next to take the heir to the throne. And rumors have been spreading around about numerous of people. The most common name that people said, I've already talked about this before, but some people say that Pete Docter would become the next John Lasseter to be the creative head of Pixar and Disney and also Walt Disney Imagineering. But then there are other people that say that the job would be entirely split onto separate people. Instead of having one person be the creative head of Disney, Pixar, and Imagineering, it would be split to their respective people. Like, in the article right over here in the Hollywood Reporter, they didn't mention about who would be in charge of Disney Imagineering, who would be taking John Lasseter's place, but they do mention right over here that it could be like a fusion of people. Like, at Pixar, it wouldn't be just Pete Docter. It would be like a combination of Pete Docter and Andrew Stanton. And at Disney Animation, it could be a combination of Frozen director Jennifer Lee and also the Zootopia directors Rich Moore and Byron Howard. So it could be a combo of those people, but still, trying to find replacements is going to be pretty difficult, and it really will change the course of Disney Animation. Like, and when I say Disney Animation, I mean Disney Animation in general, not just the studio at Burbank, but also like with Pixar as well. Like, that's really going to change the course and the creative flow of how it's going to go in those studios. And the image of Disney and Pixar is going to be a little bit more different than how it is right now. So yeah, there is also a bit of a pro and con right over there, where yeah, it would be a good image for Disney and send out something positive to fire John Lasseter to show that sexual misconduct of any kind is pretty much intolerable, no matter who it is. But then again, they would have to have the huge responsibility of finding new people to replace John Lasseter, and it could have some major consequences in the future of Disney Animation. So honestly, I feel like in terms of both sides, I do understand, and no matter what side it is, I'll go and support it. If John Lasseter leaves, then that's good. That's fine. I understand. If John Lasseter stays, that's good. That's fine. I understand as long as John Lasseter learns his lesson and he doesn't do any form of sexual misconduct again. So overall, with this whole day of listening thing, honestly, I feel like I'm actually really happy with this news. Like, reading about it, it makes me feel proud of Disney. And the reason why I say that is because, for me, the whole John Lasseter scandal, what I feel like is most important to focus is not really about John Lasseter. You know, I don't really care what happens to John Lasseter, really. The most important thing is to focus on the women, to make sure that they're okay and that the work environment makes it better for them, that they really would feel treated as equals to men. And with this whole day of listening, they are actually doing something. Now, keep in mind, this is not necessarily the first time that it actually did happen. This is not the first time that really Disney actually did some kind of day of listening thing. In fact, let me just go ahead and read here back into my source in The Hollywood Reporter. They actually did say something about how they did this before. Not at Disney, but at Pixar. It says so right over here. When Pixar had such a listening event several years ago, sources say, employees' complaints were aired about Lasseter's behavior generally. When Pixar co-founder Ed Catmull delivered that feedback to Lasseter, one animator says, Lasseter was so angry that he didn't speak to Catmull for more than a week. So, yeah. I know this is technically not the first time and they might have done these things before, but, you know, it does show that Disney is doing an action to try to make sure that the work environment is a safer place for everybody. You know, regardless of who is in there, like, they want to make sure that everybody would be treated equally. And at least with this day of listening, the artists and animators working there, they would have a chance to express some feedback, that, you know, express how they feel about working at Disney. If they have any problems, then they can go ahead and freely express them. And that's what I love about it, is that Disney actually is taking action to go and help these women out in order to have a safer environment to go and work with. And honestly, I congratulate Disney for that. And honestly, it shows that they actually do care about their employees. They actually are going to be doing something about this whole sexual misconduct scandal and all that kind of stuff. They'll make sure that things are going to be pretty intolerable when it comes to these actions. So hopefully this will have a lot more of a positive outcome in the future. And rather they have an idea about what they're going to do with John Lasseter, honestly, we'll just have to wait and see. But ultimately, I feel like that's the only thing we can do right now. Regardless, it doesn't matter how you feel about John Lasseter. The only thing that we can hope for is to help out the women at Pixar and to make sure we support them so that they could have a better working environment at Disney, that they can also have an equal amount of creative input as much as men would do, so that they can also help out to create some amazing animated features. So overall, good on you, Disney, for having this day of listening. Now, our next story that we have right over here, we're going to be sticking into the theme of sexual misconduct. And believe it or not, the ball is still rolling with that. And we actually have a brand new addition to the sexual predators of animation. Now, beforehand, I have already expressed the people in animation who have received some major consequences due to their terrible actions in the past, including Loud House creator Chris Savino, John Lasseter, and also Louis C.K. But now we got a brand new person that's going to be added onto the list. And in a way, it's a little bit like Chris Savino, where he got fired and he got caught at the worst time possible when he was climbing up the food chain and he was about to make a name for himself. So please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, our next contestant in the Sexual Predators of Animation, Pixar animator and would-be director, Dylan Brown. Now, the thing with Dylan Brown was that he was about to be a director. He was about to be credited as a director of his own animated feature, which is Paramount's Amusement Park. But apparently, things are going to be put to a halt on that. Well, not the production, but Dylan Brown's career. Where apparently Dylan Brown has been fired at Paramount because of the numerous complaints about inappropriate and unwanted conduct. If I may read my source here once again, coming from The Hollywood Reporter, Paramount has launched an investigation following complaints that were corroborated by multiple women, a source with ties to the project said. The alleged conduct included touching and caressing, according to a source. And also, a representative at Paramount actually stated that we are committed to fostering a safe and professional workplace that is free of harassment or inappropriate conduct. So we take allegations of misconduct and impropriety very seriously. We received allegations of inappropriate and unwanted conduct by Dylan Brown in the workplace, and we conducted a thorough investigation, and he is no longer employed by the company. And if you guys want to know a little bit about who Dylan Brown is, well, like I said before, he started out working at Pixar, where he was actually an animator of some of the big name movies in the company. And these would include Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, and Ratatouille. And it wasn't until when he moved into Paramount where he really made a big name of himself to the point that he was assigned to be the director of an upcoming animated feature called Amusement Park, where we don't really know the name of what the movie is, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of an update on Amusement Park itself. Nothing has changed so far in terms of what's going to be going on with Amusement Park. There's no delay. There's nothing like that. So far, it is ready to be released on March 2019, so it's going to be coming out next year. And the voice cast is still going to be the same. They still have people like Matthew Broderick, Mila Kunis, Jennifer Garner, John Oliver, and Jeffrey Tambor. Which, coincidentally, it's kind of weird that they do have the last one, because isn't Jeffrey Tambor in trouble also of his own sexual misconducts and stuff like that? But there is actually something that's very interesting about Dylan Brown right over here and his sexual misconducts. Because apparently, unlike people like Chris Savino, John Lasseter, and Louis C.K., where they pretty much are open and they admitted that they are guilty of these actions, Dylan Brown is gonna fight back. Apparently, his attorney commented about the situation, and he stated that Mr. Brown disputes these allegations. They are defamatory, and he is considering his legal options. So it could be possible that Dylan Brown is actually going to be fighting back against Paramount for being fired over this. And honestly, I feel like this is going to be a court case that's going to be quite interesting to see. But then again, maybe it's not really going to go well. Because I could definitely assure you, since there are multiple women that came in front and accused him of this, he's going to be screwed over. Like, he will try to fight back, but the court case is not going to go well. He's just going to end up losing a lot of money and also a lot of his time, and that's pretty much going to be it. Either that, or it's not going to happen. Like, his attorneys and his lawyers are just going to tell him, look, buddy, I mean, the odds are pretty much stacked against you. You just might as well give up and move on. So, who knows what's going to happen with this. But, yeah, honestly, it is pretty shocking. I mean, we just entered February of 2018, And it's pretty surprising that the whole Me Too movement is still going on, and we still see a lot of people that are taking action, and we still see a lot of people that are added onto the list of sexual predators, and it really is surprising. And even in animation, this is still going on, you know? It's kind of shocking, but at least it is good that it is still going on. I mean, like, of course there are, like, thousands of people, and I'm sure the lists are still gonna be, you know, that list is still gonna be growing with new people added every day or every week or every month and stuff like that. But honestly, it is pretty insane to really think that it's been months since this is going on and it's still kind of fresh. This is still happening. This is still hitting onto the news. And as for what's going on with Dylan Brown, yeah. I mean, what's going to happen with this guy? I think, like, his fate at this point is pretty much, he you know, it's a lot like Chris Savino, like I said before. Like, this guy was about to be on top of his game. He was about to be credited as a director of an animated feature, but then suddenly that entire chance has just been taken away from him. Like, now it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, or it doesn't matter what you're doing right now. That's pretty much gone. That's pretty much taken out of you. So your top position is pretty much pulled out of you. But yeah, overall, I will say I want to congratulate all the women at Paramount who stood up to Dylan Brown and, you know, decided to take action and actually filed a complaint to Paramount regarding this. At least I am proud that, you know, the women are having their voice being heard about this and that Paramount is taking action. This is honestly really awesome. And this is actually the path that I do hope that Disney is taking with the company with their day of listening. I do apologize. I am going back into the old story that I talked about before, but yeah, honestly, this is something that Disney should take notes. They would see this and they'll learn from Paramount to know what to do. Like, when they hear the complaints, then that's when they should go and take action against a sexual predator. So really, good on you, Paramount. Like, you know, you're doing something right with this. Now, for our next story that we got right over here, we actually got an update on one of the older stories that happened last year. Now, if you may remember a few months ago, then you may recall that Illumination Entertainment was actually in talks with Nintendo to see if they could actually make a movie based on the Super Mario Bros. Franchise. Yes, I know that we've already had the 1993 Super Mario movie, but now Mario seems to be given a second chance to go and see if he could go and succeed on the big screen as much as he would succeed in video games. So those talks actually did happen, and apparently it seems that now things are official. Yes, we're getting a Mario movie. Apparently this week, Nintendo of America actually made the announcement on Twitter, pretty much revealing the only pieces of information that we know so far about this movie, where they stated, Nintendo and Illumination are partnering on a movie starring Mario, co-produced by Shigeru Miyamoto and Chris Meledandri. And that's all they said about it, and that's the only piece of information that we know about this movie. That Mario creator Shigeru Miyamoto and that the creator and the head of Illumination Entertainment, Chris Meledandri, are going to be producing a movie based on the Super Mario Bros. Franchise. And so far, that's all we know. And I have already expressed a lot of my thoughts about the chances of a Mario movie made by Illumination Entertainment. And just to give you guys a little bit of a summary, the thing with this Super Mario movie, honestly, I do feel like it is in good hands with Illumination Entertainment. And I know that there are a lot of people who are against Illumination, and they have like a major hatred for Illumination, much more than what people claim that, oh, I hate Sony Animation. Well, yeah, you know, honestly, that is nothing compared to how people hate Illumination Entertainment, to be honest. And honest, but for me, I feel like it is in good hands because I'm sure Illumination can do something pretty good with it. Like, at the very least, they'll make something entertaining with characters that we already know and love, and they'll sell, like, they could be able to execute that very, very well. And now, like, considering that we are at the point that this is going to legitimately happen, I feel like now Illumination Entertainment has a big responsibility, because I'm sure that this is going to be the most anticipated Illumination Entertainment movie in history, more so than they have ever done with any of their other films. This is going to be more anticipated than any Despicable Me movie or anything that they have done in the past. Like, they got a huge responsibility, and there is going to be some pressure, but hopefully they will try to get it right. But honestly, there is actually something that I do want to talk about in here. And this is actually something that people immediately talked about when they heard about the news that there is officially going to be a Mario movie by Illumination. Like, right when that announcement was made, the only question in people's mind is just, who's going to be the actors playing the Mario characters? Like, apparently that's the only thing that they care about. And I've seen the discussions ranging from which actor should play who. And all they could think of is just which celebrity should be playing Mario, Luigi, Peach, Wario, Bowser, and all those characters. And personally, like, if you ask me, I honestly really don't care. But there is one casting choice that I do feel like is really important, and they really have to stick to it. And honestly, I have to say, I don't care what anybody says. Screw all your ideas of which celebrities should play Mario or Luigi. Stick it to Charles Martinet. And if you don't know who Charles Martinet is, Charles Martinet is the guy who has voiced Mario ever since the 90s. Like ever since the Nintendo 64 days and moving forward. Like, if you've heard Mario in a Nintendo 64 game, in a GameCube game, in a Wii U game, in a Switch game, it's all done by Charles Martinet. And he's not just the voice of Mario. He's the voice of, like, any version of Mario. He's the voice of Mario, Luigi, Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi. Any of those characters should be given to Charles Martinet. Because the big thing is that with Illumination, they want to make, like, the biggest goal to make this Mario movie is to make sure that they do these characters right. And even with the voices, they got to make sure they do it right with, like, which actor should play as Mario. And if they really want to stay true to the video games, then they have to keep it with Charles Martinet. They don't have any other choice. I mean, maybe it's okay if they bring in a celebrity to do the voice of, like, Peach or Bowser or any of those side characters, or, like, with Toad or Yoshi. But with Mario and Luigi, keep it as Charles Martinet. You want to stay true to the video games, so keep it with those actors. So screw all the ideas of which celebrity should be Mario or Luigi, just keep it as Mario. Or if you really want to troll people, go and get John Leguizamo as Luigi. You know, just for him to come in, hey, how's it going? This is Mario Mario, and I'm Luigi Mario. You know, just for that, just for, like, all the little funs and giggles with that thing. But, yeah. Overall, yeah, it is actually pretty interesting that this is going to happen, and I do wish Illumination the best of luck with this project, and I do hope that they could do well with this Mario project. And as for the release date, well, so far they didn't say anything just yet, but it seems like there is a possibility we'll be seeing it sometime either in 2021 or 2022 at the latest, considering that they have already scheduled what's going to be for 2019 and 2020. That's the earliest that I could think of. But honestly, I feel like it would most likely be sometime in 2022. But we'll just have to wait and see see how Illumination handles Mario. Okay, now our next story that we got right over here, we're going to be sticking into the theme of video games and animation. Except this time around, we're switching things around. Instead of talking about a video game that's going to be turned into a movie, we're going to be talking about a movie that's going to be turned into a video game. And apparently, we are soon going to be getting a Hotel Transylvania 3 video game. Yes, apparently Sony Pictures Animation has collaborated with Outright Games in order to produce a video game tie-in to one of their upcoming animated features, Hotel Transylvania 3 Summer Vacation. If I may read my source here through MyNintendoNews.com, the news actually stated regarding what this game will be, what the game will be about. Sorry about the stuttering. In the game, which picks up where Hotel Transylvania 3 leaves off, Drex Pack lands themselves into hot water yet again, washed overboard and lost on mysterious islands. By the way, would that be a spoiler to what's going to happen with Hotel Transylvania 3? Well, I don't know. And if it is, well, who cares? It's freaking Hotel Transylvania 3. I mean, like, really, when you think about the franchise, story is not necessarily their strongest suit. But anyways, going back right over here. Players will rescue their favorite monster friends from fearsome enemies, discover lovable new allies with amazing abilities, and push their puzzle-solving skills to the limit to find their friends and the magic compass needed to get back to Hotel Transylvania. So apparently that seems to be the big thing. Like, the crews suddenly got screwed up, the Hotel Transylvania gang got washed ashore, and they land themselves on an island, so then some of them have to find each other and get some kind of compass in order to go back to Hotel Transylvania. Now, apparently Terry Melham, the CEO of Outright Games, actually commented about this game right over here, and he stated... Now, as a family business, we set out to create high-quality games that families can enjoy. We know that this collaboration with Sony Pictures Animation, combined with our expertise at Fantastic Family Entertainment, will mean we can bring this franchise to life in the form of a fun game for players everywhere. And for those of you who don't know about who Outright Games is, now, you might be wondering, is this a company that is capable of creating high-quality video games? Do they have any big-name games that we could trust for them to create this Hotel Transylvania game? Well, let me tell you right now that Outright Games is actually a company that stated, I'm actually here in Outright Games' official website saying that at Outright Games, we are the small family publisher with a big voice, enhanced with over 30 years of experiencing managing games from development to launch and beyond. We talk the language of brands and combine this with our passion of creating quality family experiences. And in their lineup in recent years, they have created many licensed games that are associated with some animated projects. Like, apparently in here, the only games that they have listed to be credited with is that they created a game based on the Ben 10 reboot. They did a video game on Adventure Time, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Kung Fu Panda, Monster High, and Barbie. So in other words, do we really trust them to create a Hotel Transylvania video game? Like, to make a legitimately good Hotel Transylvania game? No, not really. Not really, to be honest. And honestly, if I may explain the big reason why I want to talk about this, is because when I first saw this, I have a big question. When I first saw it, and forgive me if I sound a little bit ignorant, or I'm just a little bit out of the loop in terms of video game news, but I just gotta ask the question. Are they really bringing back movie tie-in video games? Like, I thought we all agreed that those things don't even work. I mean, like, I know that in the past, like, those things happen all the frickin' time. But, I mean, I thought we all agreed that those things are never a good idea. They're not worth the effort. Like, even the video game publishers, like, even the people who make those games, like, they don't care. Like, what usually happens is that they make them as quick as they can, not because they have, like, a short deadline or anything, but they just want to go ahead and get it over with so that they could actually go into the video games that they actually want to make. So, honestly, I don't think they even sell well, but really? We're getting back into this? Now, I know that there are some people who told me that this trend is slowly but surely coming back, and it did happen last year, where Disney actually released a game based on Cars 3, and Warner Brothers released a game based on the Lego Ninjago movie. So Sony Animation decided they're going to do the same and have a game based on Hotel Transylvania 3. But why, though? That's kind of my big question. It's like, but why? I mean, it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. I mean, I remember some people mentioned that the Cars 3 game, yeah, it's not even worth the effort. So I don't really see the point why they have to do this. But then again, I'm guessing, like, in Sony's case, like, we all know Sony Animation, they're really trying to squeeze in everything they can in order to completely dry out a franchise. Like, they really want to make sure that they can cash it in as much as they can. And honestly, with this business idea, I feel like this is going to work out equally as well as when they try to expand their business onto television animation. And we all know how much of a disaster that turned out to be. So honestly, with this, I don't really see the point of having a Hotel Transylvania video game. Now, I'm sure, like, it did exist, but I don't see the point of it now. You know what I mean? It's like, do we really need this game to happen when we know it's not really going to be worth much of the effort? We know it's not really going to sell well. I mean, really? I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, I don't think this is really worth much of the effort. I mean, if the people who made the movies don't put much effort onto the films, then what makes you think that they're going to put much effort onto the video game? I mean, seriously. But anyways, if you guys are somehow ironically interested in this Hotel Transylvania video game, then most likely it is going to be coming out at the same time as the movie in July. So it's going to be available in several platforms on the PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and on the PC. And so now we are going to end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And this week, I decided I'm going to go a little bit into a different direction, and I'm going to be talking to you guys about the Disney parks, because there is actually something a little bit crazy that happened in there. And if you were lucky to be at Disneyland this week, then you might have found something a little bit unnatural, where you might have found an animatronic whose head was just completely off its body. And I'm actually not talking about the Haunted Mansion this time. And what actually happened this week was that if you were at Disney's California Adventure and you happened to ride Ariel's Undersea Adventure, then you might have actually found that Ursula was a little bit different when you see her, where she would literally have her head completely off. Like, there are some pictures that have been found on Twitter and all around on social media, but yeah, apparently the animatronic of Ursula, like, her head was completely off her body, and it was just dangling down there and being held on only by a few wires. And the most insane thing about it, like, really, what's actually pretty crazy about this animatronic is that even though the head was off, it wasn't, like, really malfunctioning or anything like that. It was still going. It was still on. It's kind of like Ursula was just saying, well, my head is completely off my body, but I might as well continue. The show must go on. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead. Make your choice. And yeah, like, you see the animatronic was legitimately still moving. Like, the arms were still going fine. And if you look closely in the head, that was actually still moving as well. Like, the head still has some life into it, and Ursula was still singing Poor Unfortunate Soul. And it really was a weird imagery to see. This decapitated Ursula, and it's still trying to sing Poor Unfortunate Soul. It really was a crazy sight to see. And once again, on social media, you'll find numerous of pictures of this decapitated Ursula. And there actually is a video that has surfaced on social media where you do see it in action. In fact, there is actually one Twitter user by the name of Dizzy Missy, where she recorded Ursula, like just in action, like this animatronic that's just still going, and it's just really unnatural. It just feels really weird to see the head of Ursula still moving, still alive, and like just, you know, everything is still going on while the head is clearly completely off. I mean, it is a dark ride and like there's a little bit of lighting, but still it is clear as day as that Ursula's head is not attached to the body. And you know the most insane thing? The most insane thing about this situation is that very coincidentally enough, there is another Disney animatronic whose head is completely off. And no, it's not the head of the Donald Trump animatronic at the Hall of Presidents, although it would be a really funny sight to see, and it would actually make the Hall of Presidents actually quite enjoyable to watch. No, it's actually not in Disneyland nor in the Americas or anything like that. It's actually in Disneyland Paris, in Pirates of the Caribbean, where apparently inside the attraction, you might remember the auction scene, and one of the pirates is the auctioneer. Like, you know the guy that has, like, the big hat? Like, you could tell he is the captain of the crew, and he has a green vest, and that's the guy who's pretty much selling off the wenches, and, like, he's pretty much counting the money. It's like, and now, me hearties, do I hear six? Do I hear six? Yeah, so you might be familiar with that guy. Well, somehow, his head is completely off as well, and just like Ursula, it's pretty much dangling down there, and it's only being hanged on by a few wires. And honestly, that one is a lot more impressive than the Ursula one, because in here, it's like you see his head dangling, but how the fridge is his head off when it's like surrounded by clothes? Like, how did you get off the layer of clothes in order to have your head freaking come off? And the reactions to it, it's honestly kind of priceless. And one really funny reaction that I found is actually from a Twitter user called WDW Animatronics. And I would like to expand upon the joke that he made, where he actually stated, authorities have identified two potential persons of interest in the recent violent beheadings of Disney animatronics. If you could spot either one, please contact the Orange County Sheriff immediately. And if you are looking for the suspects, then you have to be on the lookout of either the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland, the Headhunter with the top hat and umbrella from the Jungle Cruise, the Headless Horseman from the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, or the Black Widow Bride from the Haunted Mansion. If you see any of those, then report them immediately because one of them is going on a decapitation frenzy. my money is on the bride. Okay, but going back into this news right over here, going back into the freaking weird decapitations of Ursula and the auctioneer, honestly, I look at this and I feel like this is kind of amazing to watch. It really is fascinating. In fact, I would actually say that it's actually equally as fascinating to look at as much as looking at a very well done animatronic. Like, if you have seen an audio animatronic that is beautiful to look at, something that is very well crafted, something that just looks absolutely phenomenal, that it really does feel more like magic than it does technology. You know, it's kind of like looking at that. All you can do is just look at it and you have to ask yourself, how the fridge did they do that? Because it is phenomenal. And that's the case right over here. Like, you look at the decapitated heads and you can only ask, how the fridge did that happen? How is it possible? I mean, you'd think that the Disney Imagineers and the people who would make these audio animatronics, they would actually have the technology advanced enough to know to attach a head into a body. Like, how the fridge is it possible that they can have, like, one freaking screw loose and then suddenly, it's suddenly godforsaken off? It's just such a weird moment. And honestly, I just find it hilarious the fact that they are still capable of functioning, even though they would have their head off, that they could still go ahead and, like, do their little act, rather it be Ursula singing Poor Unfortunate Soul or the auctioneer doing his auction bid and all that kind of stuff. And, like, not only the body would be moving, but you could also see the head moving. And it's just, like, it is just unnaturally creepy, you know, but hilarious at the same time. And honestly, I would love to see the moment that it did happen. Like, honestly, like, what would have caused it? What would actually be the cause of having the head suddenly just randomly detach from the body? Now, I do understand that with Ursula, it is a bit of an old animatronic, and yeah, it's been there for quite a few years now, so maybe it would need a tune-up, but it's actually kind of surprising with the auctioneer, because the thing with that guy is that the whole auction scene in the Parisian version of Pirates of the Caribbean, that got massively updated. That was actually the first one that would actually have the big change where it's no longer auctioning wenches, but instead just auctioning random crap, and that the redhead is going to officially become a legitimate pirate now. Like, that is actually a brand new animatronic. How the fridge did you screw that up to the point where his head had to be completely popped up, like completely popped off, even from all the clothing? Like, you'd think, like, even if there is a bit of a malfunction, that the head would still remain intact because, like, the buttons make it tight or something like that. I thought that would be the case, but no. For some reason, with the auctioneer, like, his head is completely off of there. And honestly, in a way, just looking at it, it's both creepy and, like, you could see, like, honestly, like, looking at the pirate head, like, looking at the auctioneer, I feel like there is actually one thing that is actually really impressive. Like, you could see his head is completely upside down, yet somehow his hat is still intact. Like, his, like, honestly, his head is completely 180, and somehow the hat is defying the laws of gravity and it's still staying there. Like, it's still on his head, even if his head is completely off and it's dangling upside down. Like, that, honestly, is quite an achievement right over there. Now, I am sure that at this point, as I am recording this, that the Disney Imagineers did their job to fix things up. That they want to make sure that the Ursula head and the auctioneer head is remain intact in the body. And they'll be sure that this little incident is not going to happen again, hopefully. But honestly, it was a strange moment. And the only thing that really is too bad is that nobody really did caught the moment that it did happen. That you see them do their act and then suddenly the head just completely pops off like... Like, that would be an amazing catch there. Like, that would actually be a magical moment, per se. But yeah, overall, this really was a strange moment and a strange sight to see. And sometimes it is fun to actually check out some animatronic fails. Like, you would see, like, an animatronic that's not working. Like, yeah, it sucks, but it is a rare funny moment, and sometimes... they can actually make some great moments. In fact, ironically enough, there's a lot of great moments with Mr. Lincoln where the animatronic would just suddenly fail. And there actually is a famous one that I do remember where, like, I remember, like, this would actually even be shown a few times at, like, in America's Funniest Home Videos and stuff like that. Where, like, the Abraham Lincoln, he would be doing his speech. And then suddenly, like, he would just look like he's tired. It's like, and like, he's just going downhill, like, and, honestly, there actually is another one that I do remember. There was at one point, it's actually in Pirates of the Caribbean, in the famous scene where the pirates are in prison and they're trying to lure the dog with keys. And you actually see one of the pirates... like, he is legit shaking up. Like, literally, he's trying, like, it's either the pirate with the bone or the one with the rope. Like, he's trying to lure the dog, and you just see him, like, like, honestly, it's weird, but honestly, they make fantastic videos. So, yeah, this is honestly a strange discovery, but, man, sometimes it could be a hilarious discovery. And that is all that I've got for this week, so I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You could go ahead and find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Metzger Brunette or the Animation Podcast. You can also go ahead and find me on Twitter at Animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, you could go ahead and do us a little favor by rating and review this episode. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then just hit that like button on our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Now, tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, see you later, dudes.